This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And today, we'll talk about the things he hated. And this is not strange because as human beings, we tend to love and hate. We tend to be pleased and angry. And the Prophet ﷺ is indeed a perfect human being. But when we look at the things he hated, it was not for personal reasons. It was not for his own ego, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know that he was the most humble person on earth. Rather, the things he hated were attributed to being sins and things that offended Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why he had this hate to them. So let us look through some of the things that the Prophet ﷺ hated and learn from these things. For example, the Prophet ﷺ hated a segment of people. What are their characteristics? He said, among the dearest of you to me and those who will be seated closest to me on the day of resurrection are the best of you in attitude, and the most hateful of you to me and those who will be seated furthest away from me on the day of resurrection are those who, number one, talk too much. Number two, those who talk down to people in an affected manner. And number three, those who are long-winded and pompous. So, الثرثار, those who talk a lot. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام hated them. Why? He himself, people could count the words that come out of his mouth, but they were filled with wisdom and iman and would only get you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And hence, he did not like those who talked a lot, because those who talk a lot usually talk in vain. And there is nothing beneficial from what they say. Allah says in the Quran, no good is there in much of their private conversation except for those who enjoin charity or that which is right or conciliation between the people. Most of our conversations are based on what? On worldly matters, on things that have no benefit. And every time you ask people, what are you doing? They're saying to you, we're killing time. A crime that time did not commit, yet it's being punished for. Why do you kill time? They just waste their times in idle talk. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not like wasting time in speaking like this without any benefit. And Allah stated in this ayah that if you enjoin charity, this is something Allah loves, if you speak about that things that are right, so anything that is beneficial, whether in this life or in the hereafter, or that can get you closer to Allah, this is something that Allah loves. And thirdly, when you reconcile between fighting factions, between two who have feud among themselves, then this is something that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. Also, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he does not like those who talk down to people in an affected manner. Al-mutashaddiqun, who despise people, who make fun of people. And thirdly, al-mutafayhiqun, and those are a segment that usually when they speak, they fill up their mouths with big words and expressions, and even the way they talk. They don't talk normally. Rather, they speak in an exaggerated way, in a way that you would abhor. You don't think that this is natural. It's all made up. And such people usually do this to draw attention, that we have knowledge, that we speak, especially when people speak in Arabic language and they speak in a certain fashion that is not natural. This is not how they usually speak to one another. But because they're giving a speech, they tend to inflate themselves. And this is different from perfecting your words and what you say in order to have a good impact on the listener. That is totally different. There's nothing wrong in that. What's wrong is to show off and to try to flex your muscles through your oration and your speech, where people would not feel comfortable when you do that. Among the people whom the Prophet ﷺ hated most are liars. And we know that lying is a major sin. Mother Aisha said, no characteristics was more abhorred to the Prophet ﷺ than lying. And if the Prophet ﷺ detected that a person is lying, he would still have something in him against that person until he figures out that he had repented to Allah and felt remorse over the sin that he had committed. Lying is a major sin, and unfortunately, most people lie nowadays as a daily routine to make their business successful, so they think, to evade a problem and run away from trouble, and to apologize or to avoid apologizing to people, so they lie and lie and lie. And this is totally prohibited, and the Prophet ﷺ used to hate this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the things that a liar usually is, bad character, bad attitude. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ told us that he abhors. And those who are furthest from him on the Day of Judgment are those with the bad attitude. What is meant by bad attitude? Bad moral conduct, bad ethics. Someone who cheats, lies, betrays. Someone who's stingy, a coward. Someone who does not enjoin virtue and righteousness, and rather is afraid of speaking out. Someone who's not helping others. All of these are bad characteristics in a person. Arrogance, pride, thinking that you're better than others. This is what the Prophet hated, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. Among the things that the Prophet hated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is argument. And it was reported in a number of hadiths when people talked back to him in an argumentative way, he would be upset, and that would be seen on his face, as in the case when he visited his daughter and his son-in-law and recommended them to pray night prayer instead of sleeping, and Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, said, well, our souls are in the hands of Allah. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jal sets us to wake up, we will pray. And this is not an appropriate answer. One should have said, inshallah, we will do that. And the Prophet left and said that man was mostly argumentative. That's amazing. Instead of being cooperative and saying, Jazakallah khair, we will do that. Likewise, the Prophet's face would change when he sees sinful things, when a sin is committed, as in the case when he saw one of his friends wearing a ring made of gold. You can see that he hated this on his face. He went there and took it off and said, why would anyone put a stone of fire in his hand and tossed it away? This is something that we also have to have in us. Nowadays, we see vice and evil things happening all around us, in our own homes, in the streets, in the malls. We see haram being committed, the mixing of men and women, the music, the entertainment. All of this is something that Allah Azza wa Jal hates. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hates. And it's a sign of hypocrisy not to hate it. When you feel that, whoa, this is cool, this is fun, I'm enjoying myself, and you don't see any signs of hatred on your face to such sinful acts, in this case, this is a huge sign of hypocrisy. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among those who enforce and enjoin virtue and righteousness among the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned yesterday, used to love perfumes, and he used to hate anything that had a bad smell. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not consume anything that had onions, raw onions or garlic. And he would say that I do not like the odor. In another narration, he said, because I speak with the archangel Jibril, peace be upon him. So I don't want anything offensive coming out from me. But this does not mean it's haram for us. We eat it and enjoy it. However, we know that we should not approach the masjid when we have consumed it, because then the angels in the masjid would be offended, as well as the worshippers, from such an odor. The Prophet ﷺ used to hate drinking hot, boiling liquids, soups, or any other type of drinks. And he, ﷺ, as according to Uqba ibn Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to hate drinking such hot fluids. Nowadays, people enjoy drinking hot fluids. I'm not talking about warm fluids. No, I'm meaning hot fluids. And this could burn you. This could hurt you. This could be very bad for you. The sunnah is to keep it until it is drinkable and not hurtful or harmful. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also used to hate things that harm people, such as reptiles, specifically the scorpions. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the scorpion. And this is an insect, maybe, that cannot be tamed. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah curse the scorpion. It doesn't leave anyone, whether he's praying for Allah or not praying. You must kill it wherever you find it, whether in normal areas or in sanctuaries in the haram areas. You have to kill it. So this is one of the living creatures that we're ordered to kill, whether in hill or haram, whether in an open area, halal area, or in the sanctuaries around the haram area. Among the things that the Prophet ﷺ hated was for people to stand up to him. And this might sound a bit weird for us, because in many cultures, if you enter a room and no one and everybody stands except one or two, you would feel bad feelings and negative feelings towards them, thinking that they're disrespecting you. On the contrary, the sunnah is that you do not stand up except in certain times. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as Anas says, was the most beloved person to the whole of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them. However, whenever they see the Prophet alayhi wasalam, they would not stand up, because they know that he hated this. He does not endorse or like people to stand up for him. Imagine if a sheikh comes into a room and everybody else is sitting and nobody stands up. How would the sheikh feel? Who cares? The sunnah is that you don't stand up. So what's the ruling on standing up to people? Scholars say that standing up all the time behind a tyrant or an official is prohibited. And this is how tyrants live and exist. They want people to stand behind them and never sit, never feel comfortable. And if anyone is not standing behind them, they feel humiliated and agitated and disrespected. And this is not true. This is a sign of arrogance and hypocrisy again. You should allow and order people to sit down and not to stand like this. Secondly, when people come from a journey, this is permissible for you all to stand to greet. And this, there's nothing wrong in that. Or to help someone if he's in need of help, like Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, when he came to the Prophet ﷺ, he was injured. The Prophet said, قُومُ لِسَيِّدِكُمْ, go and stand up and assist your master. Thirdly, is when you stand up whenever you see someone coming in. And this is an issue of dispute. It seems that it is totally prohibited when the person coming in wants people to stand up for him, because this is a sign of arrogance. And the Prophet ﷺ never allowed people to do this. So you're not better than the Prophet ﷺ. So why should we stand to you? Unfortunately, in some countries in Africa, not only they want people to stand to them, even the elders want people to bow to them or squat to them. And if you don't do this, they consider this a sign of disrespect. SubhanAllah. What religion do these people follow? They say, no, this is cultural. You have to bow. You have to squat. No, this is not part of Islam. Even if it's your culture, Islam comes first if you're a true Muslim. If you're not and you prefer your culture over Islam, then on the Day of Judgment, you know where you will be, inshallah. As a Muslim, I have to tailor make my life according to Islam, not the other way around. Islam is to be followed and not to follow. So we follow what Islam says. Squatting and bowing down to the elders, if it's a cultural thing, keep it in your culture, but don't do it. It's un-Islamic. It's not permissible. This is a form of glorification for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not like people walking behind him as a form of respect or as a form of protection. This is something that he would not endorse. Rather, he would order his companions to be to his right and to his left, walking side by side. Among the beautiful etiquettes in Islam is that when a person is traveling out of town and he's coming back to his wife, if he's coming back at nighttime, he must not come unannounced. So lots of us come and say, okay, I'm going to make it a surprise. My wife is expecting me next week. I'm going to come tonight and surprise her. There is a prohibition. The Prophet said, do not do this. If you come at nighttime, don't surprise your wife. Why? Because she was not expecting you. And the norm is that if she were to know, she would have taken care of herself. She would have removed unwanted hair from her body. She would have combed her hair, wore her best attire, put her moisturizers, etc., or body lotions, so that she would be in a presentable way for you. But when you come as a surprise and she's not ready, you may see something or smell something or touch something that would make you hate her. So this beautiful etiquette shows that such surprises are nightmares and not a surprise. You have to announce that I'm coming at this time at night so that she can prepare herself. You also prepare yourself by having a shower and taking care of your hygiene, etc. Among the things that the Prophet ﷺ disliked were to sleep between Maghrib and Isha, and to speak after Isha. So sleeping before Isha means that you may miss Isha prayer. Your sleep may be prolonged so that you miss Isha prayer and you wake up midnight and then fail to sleep the rest of the night. This is not normal. And speaking after Isha, after we've prayed Isha, to just sit and engage in idle talk, again, this is a waste of time, which is to be utilized, because night prayer is to rest and to spend in praying and worshiping Allah and seeking His forgiveness. However, this is not totally haram if there is a legitimate reason, such as studying, researching something for Islam, or hosting a guest who came to visit. This is permissible, inshallah. Among the things that the Prophet hated, alayhi salatu wasalam, are things that most of us enjoy, and that is stand-up comedy, imitating people, impersonating people. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when Mother Aisha mimicked someone, impersonated someone, he said, I don't like that I have so-and-so of worldly wealth and I would impersonate a person. No, I would never do this. And he also commented on a word Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said about Mother Safiya, that she's short, she's this. So the Prophet said, alayhi salam, you've uttered a word so bad that if it were to be mixed with the water of the oceans, it would have mixed it. This is a sinful act that you had done, because this is backbiting, and it was only said so that it would reduce the status of that person in my heart. That's why you're impersonating him or making fun of him or backbiting him. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, while sitting with the others and eating, would hate it when people take the food from the middle of the plate. And he would say, the barakah, the blessing of Allah, descends on the middle of the food. So when you eat, do not eat from the middle of the pile, rather eat from the edges, so that everyone would attain this barakah. Among the things that the Prophet also hated, alayhi salatu wasalam, cauterization, which is getting a piece of iron and heating it up until it's red, and then go to specific areas of the body and cauterize it. This is not recommended, though it is one of the means of healing. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, healing or cure of illnesses is in three. One, a drink of honey. Two, a slash of a cupper, the man who does cupping to extract the rotten and spoiled or bad blood from the back of the neck or the shoulders. Thirdly, cauterization. So this is not to limit means of healing, rather to state the foundations of healing, the principles of healing in these things. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did cauterize himself, some of his companions, when it's needed. So what's not liked is when people do it without any need. The Arabs used to do this as a precaution, though they're not sick, but they used to do this so that they would prevent any illness from coming in. And this is not recommended, and this is what was hated by the Prophet alayhi as-salatu wassalam. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam hated to delay and postpone good deeds. One day he was praying, leading the prayer in Asr prayer, and all of a sudden, after he finished the prayer, he immediately stood up and went to one of his homes. And the companions were frightened by the speed of the Prophet ﷺ after concluding the prayer, not saying the adhkar, immediately standing up. There must have been something wrong. So when he came back, they told him, O Prophet of Allah, we were frightened by the speed that you stood up. We thought that there's something wrong happening. What was it? The Prophet said, I remembered some raw gold that was given to me before Salat, for Sadaqah, for charity, and I did not like the idea, the notion that it was in my possession this long. So immediately after Asr, I just went and ordered it to be given in means of charity. And this shows you that one must not delay good deeds. When are you going to take Umrah? Oh, inshallah, next month, maybe the month before. Why not now? When are you going to memorize the Quran? Maybe after Hajj. When are you going to wear the hijab, O sister? She said, inshallah, when I reach 40. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. He used to hasten to doing good things and never delay or postpone them.